Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some fog out occasionally, not occasionally, I should say that, spot fog in the area, so I really can't tell you where it is. If you see it, you just got to slow down and be careful. That's the best they can tell us because of the nature of fog itself. Otherwise, today, highs of 87 and dry, then little cool fronts coming through tomorrow and Friday, highs of 85 tomorrow, nothing but sunshine all the way into the next Thursday for the next week, no rain. And highs are going to be around 80 degrees, lows mid-60s, so we'll get a little taste of fall at least. I posed the question to you before we went to the break. Do you think health care is a privilege, or do you think it is a right that everybody should have? And I got a text that says it's a privilege all day. You can't call something a right that comes at the hard work of others. And because you can't, you want it for free, you can't call it a right. It's a service. A right is something you have by being born, like life, speech, and ability to protect yourself, goods, and family. Well, the ability to protect yourself, goods, and family, that has to come from somewhere, right? The assets for that. Somebody else said, I don't understand the difference in the choices. Well, maybe Simon Hayter can help us, Associate Professor of Public Health at The Ohio State University, before we get the shutdown to talk about that. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm okay. I thought it was interesting to start the conversation that way because as we talk about the effect of government shutdown, I think we need to talk about health care in this country and is it or how it's viewed in this country and how it's viewed in other countries and is it viewed as a right or a privilege? So where do we stand in this country and how does that compare with the rest of the world? And maybe you can explain the difference as well.
Oh, for sure. This is a really tough question that we actually tackle in my courses here. You know, most other countries have come down on thinking of right healthcare as a right, and that's kind of the starting point. Most, I should say, Western developed countries. We're a little bit unique in that way, where we're still kind of iffy about it and still trying to figure out where we stand. But there's a clear divide in this country where, you know, I think a majority of people think it's a right, but there's a substantial minority who think it's a privilege and that you have to earn it, you have to get a job to get it, and I think that's kind of driving U.S. health policy right now.
I think, to me, Professor, going back to the Obamacare days 20 years ago, however long ago it was, it seems as though it always comes down to if it's working for you, then you think for whatever reason as you're paying for it or you're in a position where you have insurance coverage, then you think, you know what, it's not a right. You have to work for it. But if it doesn't work for you, then all of a sudden you find yourself on the outside looking in. Is that pretty much what the survey or what research indicates?
I think you're exactly spot on. I think that's one of the big problems we're facing, you know, in reforming healthcare and coming to a better system is that most people, you know, in this country aren't really that sick. They go maybe, you know, once or twice a year to the doctor, if at all, and things are okay for them. They're frustrated about the cost of their insurance premiums, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, the people that really are really affected by the challenges in the healthcare system are a small minority. And, you know, this divide is kind of holding us back, I think, from getting to a better system that's, you know, better for everyone down the line.
So with that being said, tell me what's happening with the government shutdown and what it's over.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of questions at the core of it, but the biggest one's healthcare. I think one's still related to the Affordable Care Act, like so many healthcare questions that we're facing in politics today, and that's over whether to extend the enhanced subsidies for ACA marketplace premiums. So if you go into the market and have to purchase your own insurance, how much should government support you in doing that? And the other issue is about Medicaid, the changes that came down earlier, you know, through the big, beautiful bill, and whether we should undo those or keep those.
This turns very political because when you talk about enhanced subsidies, that goes back to President Biden or maybe Trump. I'm not quite sure here, Professor. And COVID, who extended those subsidies? Was it Biden or Trump?
Yeah, these subsidies first came in, or these enhanced subsidies, I should say, first came in during COVID, were extended one more time afterwards, and they're set to expire. And they're really, really crucial in expanding healthcare to more individuals, particularly those small business owners, farmers, those kind of individuals.
Who took advantage of this? And the reason I ask is I think, for whatever reason, you know, the economic term, I think, is free riders. People think that they have free riders on the healthcare subsidies, when in fact, it's a lot of people that are working. And to me, what this proved is that, you know, originally with Obamacare, we had the mandate thing that the Supreme Court struck down with the Commerce Clause, right? But because actuarially, that was the only way it would work, is if everybody bought insurance. But then It seemed as though when these subsidies went into effect, the enhanced subsidies, it proved to me, at least, that people would buy insurance if it was affordable without the mandate. Am I making stuff up in my head or not?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think one of the big flaws of the Affordable Care Act was while expanding coverage didn't quite address the cost issues. And so lots of people were still priced out of the market. And so during COVID, you know, Congress came back and in a pretty bipartisan way, at least temporarily, made those subsidies better, made them more affordable for people to get into the individual market and buy insurance. And these are, you know, people that make more than the poverty line. So these are by definition people who are working. And so the people that I mentioned earlier, farmers, small business owners, the groups that traditionally struggle, you know, hardworking Americans that traditionally struggle to get insurance, were eager to get into the market and buy insurance for themselves and their families. And I think that's why, you know, there's some appetite, I think, on both sides of the political aisle to think about whether to extend these.
And I think what people need to realize is that, well, we'll talk about the economic aspects when we come back, because if you're spending, you know, 90% of your income, and that's a large number, but say 60% of your income on health care insurance, well, that's income you can't spend on something else, which affects the economy. The other aspect of it is if you don't have insurance and you wind up going to the emergency room, well, ultimately, those of us that do have insurance are going to wind up paying for that in higher premiums, or those of us that use hospitals are going to wind up paying for it in higher premiums or in higher prices, because nothing's free. 6:21, we'll pick it up. We come back talking to Simon Hayter, Associate Professor of Public Health at The Ohio State University. 504-260-1870. I need to know, I would like to know from you, and no texting and driving, is healthcare a right that everybody is entitled to in this country, or is it a privilege that if you work and you can get insurance and you can afford it, fine. If not, good luck to you. Let me know. 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. The question before you this morning, 6:27, I'm Tommy Tucker, is medical care a right or a privilege? Simon Hayter is our guest, Associate Professor of Public Health at The Ohio State University, talking about the government shutdown and the effect that it could have. If the shutdown goes on, Professor, what kind of effect could it have on a healthcare delivery system, and who could it affect?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think if it you know resolves itself over the next week or so, most people will not be affected. There's some people that have been immediately affected, including seniors who can't schedule a telemedicine appointment anymore. But I think the big concern is if this drags on and both sides dig in, are we going to go into regular territory again where this lasts longer than a month or two? And then, you know, the implications are big for providers. You know, community health centers are going to run out of money potentially. If this drags on really long, Medicaid will be struggling as well. And so there's some big concerns, I think, that if this drags on more than a couple of days, that the healthcare system is going to have some real implications here.
Somebody texted in, healthcare is a privilege. Nothing is free. Someone has to pay for it. Seems like they're going full Dickens here, full Scrooge with, well, let the surplus population die and be done with it. Explain, if you will, though, Professor, how that affects the whole healthcare system. If, for example, people are not insured and they go to the emergency room, to this texter's point, nothing is free. So who winds up paying for that?
Yeah, I think you know it's a little bit short-sighted to think about this the way the texter responded to it. You know, we're a society where we have to, whether we like it or not, share a lot of things. And so, if you know, fewer people have insurance, then you know they're going to A, be sicker and be less able to contribute to society, less likely to hold work. those kind of things. But importantly, I think for the rest of us, you know, eventually they're going to get sick and potentially really sick. They're going to go to a hospital. They're going to go to a healthcare provider. And someone has to pay for it because we have made at least the decision that if someone is very, very sick, we shouldn't push them away from a hospital. And that can get really, really expensive. And so what happens, you know, the hospital has to, you know, charge everyone else a little bit more. The government has to kick in some dollars to help the healthcare providers not go out of business. And sometimes it doesn't work, particularly in rural areas when we have a lot of uninsured people in rural areas. Those providers tend to close. And that's kind of what we've seen over the last decade or so.
How is this playing out?
Sorry, I didn't get your
question. How do you see this playing out?
Oh, that's a great question. My optimistic view here is that, you know, the president and Democrats and Republicans will get together and we'll reach a compromise here in a week or two where we extend the ACA subsidies, kind of fund the government through December or November, and then have some more conversations then. I'm not that optimistic right now. I think there's a small chance that will happen, but my big fear here is that, you know, we'll get into November, late November, and we still don't have anything in place, and then that has big implications for the healthcare market, but also for patients.
Real quick, I don't want to hurt myself here, but I've drawn some Venn diagrams, and I'm just wondering where do Trump supporters and subsidies fit in as far as these Venn diagrams, these circles that intersect?
Yeah, it's a little bit ironic. I think the number is about 80% of the subsidies actually go to states that were won by President Trump in the last election, because most of those states have not expanded the Medicaid program in the first place. And so, you know, this is really, really, I think, a problem for Republicans and the president, and they're concerned about this from a political standpoint. You know, the people most hurt by the failure to extend the subsidies are going to be in red states like Texas and Florida. And I think those states are, pushing to get a deal done here, because otherwise there's potentially electoral consequences, you know, down next November.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, Professor. Simon Hayter, Associate Professor of Public Health at The Ohio State University. 6:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to the news director, Dave Cohen. 0647 dark 30. However I'm trying to say this, sun's not up yet. If you're wondering when daylight saving time goes away, it is on November 2nd, Sunday, November 2nd, after Halloween. Maya McGinnis joins us now, President of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Talk about the government shutdown. Good morning, Maya. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks for taking the time with us. You know, I was trying to think of a comparison here, and I don't know exactly in a corporate structure who approves the budget, but I guess each department presents their budget and capital expenditures and so forth and operating expenses, and then it goes to management. I don't know if the board gets involved in approving a budget or not, but the CEO or CFO does. Somebody ultimately has to approve a budget. And it seems to me this is analogous to if you're running a corporation.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One department not agreeing with the other, so it's like, you know what, just shut the corporation down, close the doors. Is that kind of way off base or not?
It's not way off base at all. In a company or in a country, you are supposed to present a budget, and the fiduciary overseers are supposed to approve it. So in this case, we would have the president submit a detailed budget, which he did not do this year. You would have Congress adopt a budget, which they did not do this year. And you would pass a budget before the end of the fiscal year, which ended at the end of September. And we did not do this year. And it is a dangerous reflection of the fact that we have a government which is not able to implement, oversee the most basic duties that the federal government should do. And so that's right. Any business person knows they can't run an operation without a budget. That should obviously be the same standard for the federal government.
So which president didn't present a budget? That would be Trump or Biden?
President Trump did not this year.
And the reason for that is?
That is for him to answer. He presented an outline of a budget, and then they were supposed to put forth a full detailed budget, and it just never happened. And it's as though, I mean, the budget is required to be presented by the president in early February every year. And sometimes if it's a new president in office, there's no problem with some leeway so they can get everything figured out. But it just didn't happen. And so all of the norms and laws of budgeting are now being circumvented on a regular basis. And the outcome is the one that we should worry about the most. Yes, our budget process is broken, but even more troubling, our fiscal situation is in dire straits, where every sign about a federal budget, the debt, the deficit, interest payments, they are all at or approaching record bad levels. And this means our economy is threatened, our national security is threatened. There's a risk there could be a fiscal crisis. This is really a dire situation, and yet we have two parties that can't even work on any of the most fundamental requirements of the government right now. This polarization is really harming the country.
So let me go back for a second, and I know this is about the shutdown, but in early February, a president was supposed to submit a budget, didn't, new president coming in. At no point did Congress say, Mr. President, we need a budget here because we need to approve it. Nobody in leadership did any of that in Congress?
They didn't. So the oddity of the budget process is they don't actually have to approve the president's budget. The president approves the budget, put forth the budget, and then Congress comes up with their own budget. They can go forward with that without the presidential budget. And unfortunately, they failed to adopt a budget or pass any of the appropriations bills, which are the individual bills that keep different parts of the government running. And that is why we are sitting here at a government shutdown.
And I'm not trying to get too far into the weeds here, but as I've often said, Maya, if you played golf for money, that's where most of the money changes hands, and that's where most of the cheating takes place, right, in the weeds? So tell me about these 12 appropriation bills. How should it work in theory? And I just don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I think it's interesting to talk about how it should work and how it actually is playing out.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Well, I think it's interesting. I love the budget weeds, but about one-third of the federal budget is funded through appropriations. Two-thirds is on automatic pilot. Those are things like Medicare, Social Security, veterans benefits, agricultural benefits. But that one-third, about half of it is defense, has to be approved how much money will go to each area of the budget and how it will spend. That's what appropriators are supposed to do. The deadline is the same every year. And basically, they're starting to miss it every year, which is why we've had continuing resolutions or kind of ways to fund the government that bypass appropriations for the past 25 years. And the problem is the two parties can't agree, which is sort of the problem with everything, right? We can look and identify so many problems in this country. Fiscal policy being unsustainable is obviously one of them. But the choices to fix them are hard, and we need to control our spending. We can't grow spending at the rate we have been in the past. And we can't afford tax cuts that are not offset, which is something we've also seen, which make the fiscal situation worse. As much as we all love tax cuts, if they balloon the debt, it undermines the benefit of them. And that is where we are. We have the parties not able to pass those appropriations because they can't agree on the numbers, usually along partisan lines.
Maya, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We go back. Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Those of you texting in that Maya doesn't know what she's talking about, well, okay, you can believe whatever you want, but she is, of course, the president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, so you would presume that she does know what she's talking about. We'll take a break. Come back. Traffic now, WWL. 6:58, about a minute and a half left with Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Maya, when we talk about the debt limit in the country being increased, and we go through that every now and then, is that the same as this, or are those two different, separate, completely different things?
It is completely different. Often lawmakers themselves confuse the two. But a government shutdown like we're in right now is, I would say, primarily problematic because it reflects massive dysfunction in our governance process. But because so many things are exempted from the shutdown, for most people, things continue to operate as normal. Now, that's not so if you're working for out, not getting a paycheck, and obviously if you have a plan to go to a national park. But you're still getting your Social Security checks. You're still the basic, you know, national security is still working. The most important areas of government are still functioning. A default, on the other hand, which happens when the debt ceiling hits, we have a debt limit on how much we can actually borrow. Often Congress has passed bills that require borrowing, but when the borrowing comes due, they refuse to lift the debt ceiling to allow for that. That's an inconsistency. But if we did not lift that debt ceiling, we would not be able to pay what we owe to our creditors. That would be a huge default. And then major things like Social Security checks or national security would not be able to operate. So a default is much more dire in terms of consequences than the government shutdown.
Thank you, Mai. Appreciate your time as always. We'll take a break, talk about the Middle East. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.